If you're looking for a more flexible way to homeschool or just make learning work better for your family, Time for Learning can help. It's an all-in-one online curriculum for pre-K through 12th grade with customizable lessons in core subjects, electives, and enrichment courses, so you can create a learning plan that fits your child's pace, interests, and goals. And because homeschooling is easier when parents have the right support, it also comes with tools like an activity planner, automatic grading, and transcript templates to keep lessons organized and make progress easy to track. Whether you need a full homeschool curriculum or extra academic support, Time for Learning adapts to the way your family learns. Right now, get $20 off your first month at timeforlearning.com with code PODCAST at checkout. That's time4learning.com. Start today with month-to-month access and no long-term commitment.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today, I am sharing my interview with special education teacher Melissa Ziegler. She currently teaches in a self-contained kindergarten program and is passionate about supporting students with structured, compassionate strategies that actually make sense in a real-life classroom. And today, we're talking about individual instruction. How can you possibly find time to work one-on-one with students when you have a full caseload, when you're short-staffed? How can you make this possible? Well, guess what? Melissa's going to tell us. I love how actionable her strategies are, and I love how focused she is on a team collaborative model. This is the magic. This is the secret sauce in all of this. Melissa was so much fun to chat with, and there are so many great takeaways. I can't wait for you to listen. Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I am excited about this topic. Today, Melissa and I are going to chat about individual instruction. So working with students either one-on-one or in that really small group, which sometimes can be hard to wrap your brain around when you have a very busy and large caseload. So what does this look like in your classroom right now?
Yeah, so I think individual instruction is something that can be so overwhelming, like just thinking about how do I set it up? How do I structure it throughout the day? But I call it binder work time. So every student in my class has a binder, and I typically will put like between 7 to 10 goals in the binder. And I like to have a one-to-one ratio during that time. It is really difficult to get that, especially with staff shortages. But I try to have a one-to-one ratio so that it's consistent. And it's usually a 30-minute time block. So what that looks like is every staff member will get their binder. They know what student they're working with. I'll put, like a Google slide up that tells each staff member which student they're working with. So they'll grab their binder, they'll go to the table. And then they have a little bit of time to work together. And then they also have time for the student to earn at the end of the session. I think that's really important. And I feel like after years of looking online for resources, I ended up just started making my own materials because I was piecing together all of these different things from TPT and all these websites. And it was overwhelming. It was frustrating to not have the things that I wanted. So I started making my own materials, and we really try to ensure that the programs are consistent and simple. So once a staff member in my classroom is trained in running the programs, theoretically, they can run programs with any child in my classroom on any given day. We use like the same data sheets throughout all of the students' binders, and most of the activities are very consistent. They're very similar. So a lot of them are like laminated tasks or Velcro matching, things like that. And I just really want to highlight that it does not look pretty every day. I think that's really great. It does, but that does not mean that there is not good evidence of good teaching that's happening. And I think it's really important for teachers in self-contained settings to be mindful of this, that, you know, every day it's not going to look like sunshines and rainbows, although I really wish it would.
And those are never the days that you get observed either, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I love so many things about this setup. I like that you named it something, because I think sometimes this gets tricky. Like I always called it teacher time, even though like they're with the teacher all day. But what this is, that you can name it whatever you want. You could name it sunshine and rainbows time if you wanted. But you have this time in the day that's dedicated to kind of that nitty gritty IEP work. I love that it's not just you doing it. I love that you have your whole team involved. Yeah. And the statement you said about once they're trained, they can do this with anyone. I was like raising my hands and clapping, because that's really like the beauty of staff training. If you can train your team really well, you have to do it once. And then it's like, oh, remember that program we did with that kid? Now we're doing it with this kid. And it's like, done.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's so important in the beginning of the school year to be so intentional about training the staff. Usually I will sit with the staff almost one-on-one and model with myself or with a student. Because I never want the one-to-one time to be just staff members constantly coming to me and asking questions or, you know, being confused. So I like to have things very clear so that my instruction with the student that I'm working with is uninterrupted. I think that's really important.
Do you rotate what students work with which staff?
Yeah, we try to. Honestly, I'll put like a Google slide. So every day, each staff member is working with a different student. It's usually consistent throughout the week. Like every Monday, I'm working with Johnny. Every Tuesday, I'm working with this child. But depending on behaviors and also what the day might look like, sometimes I'll step in and work with a different child. But we do try to rotate because I don't want any child to get dependent on a specific staff member.
Yes, that's so important. And then if you're out sick, things can still continue on. And this is probably how you get one-on-one time with every child, because you're not doing it all yourself.
Right, exactly.
So what would you say the big benefits that you see are in one-to-one instruction versus small group? And maybe how would you even explain this to an administrator or a parent that's coming in and being like, hey, you need to do more small group. And I know you also do small group, but for especially these like harder skills, why is it important to have that one-on-one time?
Yeah, so I teach kindergarten. So I think in terms of what each child needs, it's really the early academic readiness skills that they don't have. So what I usually see is a combination of, you know, they might not have a lot of in-seat behavior, or they might not be able to tolerate a non-preferred activity for a long period of time. They might not have joint attention or even a long attention span at all. So it's easier to sustain their attention when they're given that individual attention from the teacher, whether it's from me or one of my staff members. And also the individual instruction allows for a very fast pace of reinforcement. I think that's really important. We use a lot of visuals, a lot of rewards in my classroom. And, you know, depending on the day, we might really amp up the reinforcement and have them earning multiple times throughout the session. If we know that, you know, they're a little fidgety that day, they're a little off, and it's going to be harder for them to sit and attend to the activities. And I think explaining it to like administrators or families, I think it's really important that these one-to-one rotations, they really give the children access to prerequisite skills that they will need in order to be successful in small groups later on. So some of my students need very direct individualized teaching. So whether that's, you know, working on communication, functional communication training, or even just tolerating work tasks to begin with, teaching them what is working and sitting at the table. And the way that I always try to explain it to parents at back to school and all those fun things, I always try to explain that each child is very lucky in a way, because they will get individual time with me throughout the week. And every child gets the same access to the same opportunity and amount of time, no matter how that time is used or what it looks like. It looks very different for each one of them. But in a way, they're very lucky because I do get to spend that individual time with them.
Oh, I love that. I love that messaging too. And especially, like you said, with younger students that need those readiness skills, I think so often we're like kind of pushing kids into a group before they're ready. And the comment on reinforcement is so dead on. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean on like the schedule and pace of reinforcement and how that looks different in your one-on-one time versus if you had four kids in front of you?
Yeah. So I think a lot of my students, they are on individual reinforcement systems. So whether they have a token board or a first then, or they're just earning towards certain things. And when you're in the whole group or a small group, it is very easy to kind of forget about reinforcement because as the teacher, you're trying to manage and you're trying to give the instruction and you're not really thinking about all of those other components. But when you have the opportunity to sit down one-to-one with them, you can give them reinforcement at a pace that is appropriate for them and that is motivating enough. Because if you think about it in these one-to-one times, we're working on IEP goals, we're working on things that are really difficult for them. And it can be frustrating, it can be overwhelming, even just the task of sitting at the table alone is really frustrating for some of my kids. So really amping up the reinforcement and, you know, providing clear choices. So my staff know that before we sit down, you know, they get all the visuals and all the things ready to go. And we give them a picture choice of what do you want to work for? What do you want to earn today? And then whether we give them a token after each activity or after each singular Velcro piece, depending on the day of what their day looks like, because we want to sustain their attention to the task and we don't want to frustrate them too much. I never want work to be considered like aversive in their minds, because yes, it's hard and we're working on hard skills, but also we do want to celebrate all of the positive things that they are like doing and they're trying to do.
Yes. And they're like in kindergarten. School's supposed to be fun. I mean, school should be fun every year, but like, yeah. Especially the little grades, right?
Right.
So I feel like everyone at this point is like, okay, but what are the rest of your kids doing? Like during this binder time, what does your classroom look like? And what are the other kids doing that aren't currently with you or one of your paras?
Yeah. So I think that's one of my biggest challenges is feeling like, you know, if I'm working with this one student, I also have to be looking at what else is happening around the room, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's always very stressful.
Yes.
But I think it's very important to really sit with your staff and train them well on exactly what the expectation is. So if we don't have, in my dream scenario, we would have a one-to-one ratio every day, but I'm not lucky enough to have that. So if we don't have that set up, I will sometimes have staff work with a dyad. So what that looks like is they'll have two kids, two of their binders in front of them. They'll work with one student for a little bit of time while the other one plays with a toy. And then they switch. So once they work with the first child, then they move on to the second one and that one will earn their reinforcer and be able to play with the toy. If we are really down staff, we will open like a play center and I will have one of my classroom TAs run more of like a functional play center, which is still really great for them because it's giving them, you know, joint attention and imitation and all of these other skills that they might not be doing on their own.
Love that. And yeah, thinking creatively, like I love the example of the two kids with one para and like, even you could still do one-on-one time with two kids. One might be having a break and one is working and then kind of switching between the two. Mm-hmm. Obviously a big foundation of this all working is staff training, which I want to talk about in a minute, but what other systems or routines allow this one-on-one time to happen? What else is going on behind the scenes that has like set the foundation for this? If you're someone who supports learners with autism, whether you're a special ed teacher, an RBT, or a parent who wants the very best for your child, high quality applied behavior analysis training can make such a huge difference. If you've ever thought about deepening your expertise or advancing your ABA career, The Ohio State University has a program designed specifically for that. Ohio State offers a fully online Master's of Arts in Special Education with a specialization in applied behavior analysis. And what's really cool is the program is fully ABAI accredited, which means all of the coursework and the degree meet the requirement to pursue your BCBA and get that credential. This is a field that is continuing to grow. In fact, the job postings have increased by 102% in just 2 years for BCBAs. So the demand for highly trained ABA professionals is definitely there. And I love the flexibility that this gives you. There are so many workplace options as a BCBA. Now, I got my master's in ABA when I was a classroom teacher, so I appreciate that Ohio State has this flexible program. It's fully online. It's designed for working professionals, which back when I got my degree, there were not that many out there. So if you're currently a teacher or an RBT, this is a great opportunity to advance your knowledge while keeping your full-time job. So if you've been thinking about it, now is the time to do the research and learn about this program. Check out Ohio State's online ABA master's program. You can visit go.osu.edu/autismhelper. I'm going to link that in the show notes. That's go.osu.edu/autismhelper. If you've been stuck on a 6-month waitlist for a psychiatrist or bouncing between online mental health sites trying to find the right medication support, Talkiatry was built for you. It's a virtual psychiatric practice that actually fits your life and your insurance. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication management. Unlike therapy-only sites, Talkiatry is psychiatry. That means that you'll be seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when appropriate. All of their over 600 clinicians are in network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly out-of-pocket subscriptions or those out-of-network fees. Head to talkiatry.com/Sasha and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/Sasha to get matched in minutes.
Yeah, I think a big piece for me is organization. So if you came into my classroom, you would think, oh my God, this person is so OCD, rainbow color, everything. But that's really genuinely the only way that I can manage it all and that I can get by. So all of my kids have a binder. And that being said, I do color code my caseload every year. So like they all have a color, their binder is color coded, all of the materials are color coded so that I know exactly if there's a marker on the floor, there's an eraser on the floor, I know whose binder that it came from. And I think setting up very organized systems early in the year. It's a lot of work in the beginning of the school year. It's a lot of like front loading to try and get it all managed. But once it's set up and it is organized, I think it allows for the one-to-one instruction to run very smoothly. So for example, in the past I would be working with a student and then I would have to get up and get a pen to do data collection. And then all of a sudden the student's gone. I have no idea what happened. So just making sure that when staff go to sit down with the child and they grab the binder, everything is inside. So they have a pen to take data. They have, you know, all the reinforcements, edibles, anything that they might need will be inside there for them. And I think that's really important because organization is like probably the only way that I have survived to this point.
Oh my God, I love that statement because I feel like I actually talk about organization in every training I do, whether it's like behavior, literacy, executive functions, because you can't do any of it if you can't find your stuff. And and it sounds like, yeah, people might walk in and be like, well, yeah, same thing, like OCD, look at this color coding. But there's a reason like for it, because you have to be able to find your things quickly. And if not, like you're losing engagement, you're losing momentum. And it's really to me like a proactive strategy for preventing problem behavior, because yeah, the kid's going to run away when you're not ready, and organization allows you to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's talk staff training, because I have some questions here, because I feel like you do this really well, obviously, since all the staff is on the same page. What does staff training at the start of the year look like? You kind of mentioned that. And then what does it look like throughout the year?
So I really personally believe that each staff member brings something to the table, and their voices and their input is just as important as mine. I'm still the teacher, I'm still in control, I'm still managing them. But I think it's important that they know that their opinions are heard and valued. So we have staff training. I train staff very early on in the school year, and I will get into that. But I feel like we have brief discussions all the time, all throughout the day, all day long. And that's kind of how we keep the open line of communication of, oh, you're working with Johnny today, you know, he seems a little dysregulated. Maybe you should give him tokens at a more fast pace. Just so that we're all really on the same page, because I think that's really important. And that consistency is what helps the kids be able to thrive. But in the beginning of the school year, I really like to sit down and take my time with the staff personally. I feel like if I can't have the staff trained on a personal level with them and sit one-to-one with them, almost like I'm working with a student, then the structures and things that I will have in place throughout the school year will not be functional or purposeful, because, you know, there's always a chance that I'm going to be absent or I'm going to be in meetings. And then what, you know, yeah. You have to really trust and rely on these people. And I know it's really scary because as teachers, we want to be in control all the time. but you have to really kind of lean on them. So I like to sit down with them and I will kind of act out, like I will model as if they are the child and I will be giving the instruction so that they understand, you know, how it works, the process, providing reinforcement. I do get some staff members who have no experience with autism or ABA at all. So we sometimes have to start from like the way beginning with them, and that's okay. But I think really having them feel that their voices are heard and their opinions are valuable, and also that they feel comfortable to ask me questions. Like I always say, I have a lot of the answers all the time, but I'm not going to know everything every day, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I want them to feel that they can communicate and have those open conversations with me as well. I think staff training is ongoing, especially, you know, behaviors change throughout the year, behavior plans change throughout the year. And I think it's important that we're all on the same page, or even just noticing things. Like sometimes when I'm on my lunch break and the kids are at recess, they'll notice something, and just being able to all be on the same page, I think that really protects the integrity of the individual work period that we do have with these kids. Because I feel confident by this point in the school year that all of my staff know exactly what they should be doing. And if they don't know, they feel comfortable to ask me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really about creating culture, and that, you know, allows that individual time to happen. So much, you could see maybe why teachers are overwhelmed with like, how could I possibly find one-on-one time? Because there is so much that goes into the background from even creating team culture and having this like mindset that we're all educators here, but it all can be done, and it all can be done with a big caseload and all that. Obviously, the biggest obstacle with staff training is always finding the time. So where do you find time for these like kind of quick conversations or these like, you know, more focused meetings at the start of the year? How do you find the time for that?
I think the quick conversations happen kind of on the fly. But one opportunity that I find very helpful to have these conversations is when the kids are eating. So like in the morning, they come in, they have breakfast time, and we'll see like, oh, you know, this one looks a little bit dysregulated. It looks like they might not have slept. Or we'll read through the communication book and realize they didn't sleep, they didn't eat, they might be a little cranky today. So, you know, let's run 3 to 5 trial programs with him instead of 7 to 10 today. I think those opportunities where there are unstructured or downtimes, I always say that downtime is the worst thing in a self-contained setting. I think it's horrible.
Yes.
But those little downtimes that we do get, so like when they're eating snack, when they're eating lunch, things like that, that's kind of when I will talk to the staff or just tell them the plan for the day. And also it gives us an opportunity to have those open dialogues. I think when it comes to really sitting down with the staff, it's really tricky. In that case, in the beginning of the year, I will kind of block out myself as a teacher and them as the student, if that makes sense,
yeah,
in my schedule. And I will see which students are pulled out of the room and things like that, so that we do have a good ratio and everyone else is still learning. But I think it is really important that we are intentional about training staff early on.
Yeah. And those nooks and crannies, like you said, those few minutes here when people are, you know, kids are eating or kids are coming in the class, like can... those are powerful moments because it allows you to get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what's actually in your binder time and your time for individual instruction. Besides IEP goals, are there other things you add into that time? How do you decide what you're targeting during individual instruction?
Yeah. So typically I will go through their IEPs and I will create a list of the goals. A lot of my kids have very similar goals. So we will target, you know, spelling their name, tracing lines, color ID, receptive ID, things like that. But we also do other things as well. So in terms of social skills, I think it really depends on where the child is at. So I do a lot of observing in the beginning of the year. I'll kind of just sit back with a clipboard and just watch everything. So with social skills, we might include like play imitation tasks or turn taking with an adult, even tolerating waiting. That's really hard for a lot of my kids. Sometimes depending on their behavior and, you know, if we do see a need for it, we will put social stories in the binder as well. So they'll be working on, you know, color matching and then their name. And then there's a social story that's personalized to them. So it's kind of embedded into their routine, and it's not really pulling them away from the group, because I think social stories are not effective unless they are looked at and reviewed every single day. So this is a perfect opportunity to include that in there. And with some of my students too, we do a lot of functional communication training. So whether it be on the AAC or modeling with simple sign language, and I will include that throughout their programs too. Like usually when it's time for them to earn and they have their preferred reinforcer, their toy or edible reinforcement, whatever it might be, we'll have them, you know, we'll model the sign more for them or show them on the device. And I think that's really important that we embed those into their one-to-one routines as well.
If you're looking for a more flexible way to homeschool or just make learning work better for your family, Time for Learning can help. It's an all-in-one online curriculum for pre-K through 12th grade with customizable lessons in core subjects, electives, and enrichment courses, so you can create a learning plan that fits your child's pace, interests, and goals. And because homeschooling is easier when parents have the right support, it also comes with tools like an activity planner, automatic grading, and transcript templates to keep lessons organized and make progress easy to track. Whether you need a full homeschool curriculum or extra academic support, Time for Learning adapts to the way your family learns. Right now, get $20 off your first month at timeforlearning.com with code PODCAST at checkout. That's time4learning.com. Start today with month-to-month access and no long-term commitment. If you're looking for a more flexible way to homeschool or just make learning work better for your family, Time for Learning can help. It's an all-in-one online curriculum for pre-K through 12th grade with customizable lessons in core subjects, electives, and enrichment courses, so you can create a learning plan that fits your child's pace, interests, and goals. And because homeschooling is easier when parents have the right support, it also comes with tools like an activity planner, automatic grading, and transcript templates to keep lessons organized and make progress easy to track. Whether you need a full homeschool curriculum or extra academic support, Time for Learning adapts to the way your family learns. Right now, get $20 off your first month at timeforlearning.com with code PODCAST at checkout. That's time4learning.com. Start today with month-to-month access and no long-term commitment.
I think that's great too, and is kind of actually answering my next two questions, because I was thinking about, you know, this 30-minute block, and obviously, you know, kindergartners have very short attention spans.
Oh, yes.
And also you've also already talked about how you can be responsive with, oh, they look a little tired, let's do less trials or more reinforcement. So it seems like there is a lot of like flexibility happening during that 30 minutes with embedding reinforcement and other activities.
Mm-hmm.
And like keeping with that short attention span, are there certain kids or certain days that maybe you give more breaks during that 30-minute period?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I view the plan or the binder, it's kind of like a roadmap. So, you know, it's telling me where to go, but I don't have to necessarily follow that road. If the student comes in and they're dysregulated or they're a little bit disengaged, I definitely will change the pace of instruction. So whether I, you know, do it really quickly or really slowly, or sometimes I might switch out to focusing on maintenance goals, things that I know are a little bit easier for them, that I know they can feel more successful with, and they will be able to earn and finish the test a little bit quicker. And also providing a lot more reinforcement. So I think it depends on the student and the situation. But I think having a high rate of reinforcement during these times is important to begin with, but sometimes they might need a little bit extra and a little bit quicker reinforcement, and that's okay. I think it's really important that we are very flexible. You know, we're still following the plan, but we don't have to be super rigid about it all the time. And I think we can be thoughtful by making the adjustments throughout the day. You know, if we see that they come in upset or they come in tired, we're making adjustments. We're being very thoughtful and flexible, but we're also still working on goals, and that might look different every day, and that's okay.
And I think that speaks to kind of your goal you said before on, we don't want work to be aversive, especially mm-hmm. for our little kids. We don't want them to start to have that learning history of like, ugh, school.
Right, exactly.
So what advice would you give to a teacher who feels like they're not doing enough because they can't get with students every day, they have a really high caseload, maybe high staff turnover? What advice would you give to that teacher?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I'll ever feel like I'm truly doing enough. And I think all teachers experience this. I really do.
Yeah.
I would tell another teacher that this feeling is so normal. It's very normal. And doing enough in a very highly structured classroom doesn't mean that you're working one-to-one with every single student equally every single day. There's no way I can be everywhere all at once and be everything to everyone at all times. It's just impossible. We're human. Yes. As much as I would love to do that, I can't. I don't have eight arms. But some days, you know, one student might need more support. They might need a little more regulation. They might need a little bit more of your attention. And that's a part of very responsive teaching. That is not you being a failure as a teacher. And I think that's a really important point that took me a long time to realize. I try to celebrate everything. So I actually have a board in my classroom. I really should update it, but I will take pictures when the kids are doing something good, whether they're, you know, sitting in the chair for 1 second or they're sharing their toys, anything good that's happening, I will take a picture of it and we'll post it on this wall of celebrations of things that need to be celebrated. Because as a teacher, it can be very easy to beat yourself up. And you know, you have one bad day, one bad period of when this work didn't go the way that you wanted it to, and it's very easy to become negative. But just having these reminders of all of the good things and the positive things that are happening around you can be really helpful. So the way that I think about it, I try to focus on my intentional impact over time. Like every day is not going to look the same, and that is totally okay. If classroom systems are running, the students are safe, learning is happening, even if it looks so different for every single one of them, you still are doing enough. And progress in self-contained settings comes from consistency over time. Nothing is going to be perfect in one day. You know, I wish it could be perfect on September 1st, but it's not going to be that way, and that's okay. But it's really important to also remember to work as a team. I think leaning on your staff members is really essential to this one-on-one instruction, because like I said, I can't be everywhere and everything to all of them all at the same time, as much as I would love to be that.
Oh, I love all of that. I love that statement about like reframing it as responsive teaching. Like it's what you should be doing. Like if one kid is having a hard day, yeah, he's going to get more attention, but in a week it might be another kid. So that's really, really good advice. And I hope someone that's in a tough season listens to that and knows that they are doing enough. So kind of last question to wrap up. If someone is super motivated, like I want to implement more individual instruction in my classroom, what's kind of their maybe one small thing they can do to get started? Because it's overwhelming to think about the whole thing, but what's one small change they can make right away to improve this, to get this started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can be very overwhelming. When I first started, I would look at this time block and be like, oh my God, how am I going to get this all done? How am I going to make this schedule? I think scheduling can be very stressful, especially when there are staff shortages or high turnover. But I think the first step that I would personally suggest is to look at the schedule and the supports and give yourself permission to rely on other people. And I know that's really hard as a teacher, but that's really how we protect the integrity of that one-to-one time. So something that I try to do in the beginning of the year is I will work with the service providers and see if they can coordinate pulling students out during those time periods that I know I want to do individual instruction. Because that really helps me with planning and it makes it less overwhelming for me. You know, I'm relying on these service providers, yes, but it's helpful for the whole group. You know, this student might not be getting individual instruction today, but they'll be here tomorrow and they will receive that instruction. I also think leaning on the classroom staff, I know I talked about training the staff and things like that. And I think it is the responsibility of the classroom teacher to really maintain a positive environment and positive culture. You know, not everyone is easy to work with. I will be so honest.
Yeah.
Sunshine and rainbows. But I think it's really the responsibility of the teacher to maintain a positive space and environment where, you know, your staff feels comfortable to ask questions and you feel comfortable to lean on them. And everyone has clear roles and they know which students or which routines they're supporting at any given moment so that this time period can run smoothly. And it takes the pressure off of you that you don't have to feel like you're constantly having to manage and be everywhere all at the same time. So I think my biggest piece of advice would be that just to rely on others, and relying on others can be so hard to do. It can be so hard. I totally get it. But it really makes these individual instruction times so much more manageable and less overwhelming to think about.
Oh, I love that. And it's why we have staff in our classrooms too. They're there for a reason. So mm-hmm. I think that's such great advice. Oh my gosh, Melissa, I love all of this. I feel like I could chat about this forever. Where can people go to learn more from you?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram. It's Melissa_pre_K. So I used to teach pre-K actually. And once I started teaching kindergarten, I never changed my handle. But that is where you can find me.
Awesome. We will link that in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.